Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Lord Onyx, and all the hosts 7 nights a week for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics right here on Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone, to Visions of the Past on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. I am your host, William Brigley. Come on in, pull up a chair, and sit down as I discuss the world of archaeology, anthropology, and other such fields, and how it relates to modern paganism. You enjoy the show. Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Visions of the Past on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Once again, I'm your host, William Brigley. Truly great to be able to bring you the stories and scientific discoveries surrounding our ancient ancestors. And once again, thank you everyone for tuning in. If you have any ideas, comments, or suggestions about the show, you can either email me at xxvisionsofthepastxx@gmail.com or the network at CERN.org@gmail.com. As a reminder, if you do miss one of the shows that air on the network, don't worry. We host the archives on our website at spiritualunityradionetwork.org, as well post the links on each one of our show's Facebook pages. We're also on iTunes and the TuneIn page, so do drop by and check it out. It is one of our many ways that we are reaching out to you, our listeners. We understand that people are comfortable with different sites and interfaces, so there are many ways for you to tune in. Besides archives of the show and links to the sources where I obtain my information being posted on my Facebook page, you also find links to other articles and discoveries there as well. This is to further encourage open discussion and to bring these revelations to the forefront. Again, if you like our topics, please let your friends know. If you do like the show, if you wish, you can also pop by and put a like on my Facebook page just by searching for Visions of the Past. I'd like to also remind everyone that the artists you hear during the show volunteer their music to us for your listening pleasure and to make this a better network for everyone. So please keep them in mind and try to support them. This is exactly how they earn a living. And they return that favor by producing more music for everybody. If you'd like to join us in the chat room during the live shows, all you have to do is visit Blog Talk Radio prior to the live broadcast and create a free account. The hosts are always willing to interact with our listeners in the chat room. If you're not in the chat room, you could be missing out on other listeners discussing their opinions live with the host. Sometimes it's the same topic, other times it's a different topic entirely. And during song breaks, you'll most often find us engaged in the chat room. So if you wish, again, come by, check it out. It's always a good time. For anyone who hasn't tuned into the show before, I enjoy bringing you news from the world of archaeology, anthropology, and many other such fields that explore the practices and mysteries of our ancestors. Occasionally, I also bring on guests from today's various communities. This is all to help us better understand each other's beliefs and practices from the past and the present. Our history contains no shortage of ancient structures either. From the Mayans to the Egyptians, from the Romans to the Mesopotamians. So for tonight's topic, we are off to Salisbury, England, and the site of one of the most ancient and spectacular structures on Earth. Tonight, we're visiting Stonehenge. This is a topic that I've wanted to visit for quite a while. I know we've been all over the world with various other episodes. So, brought this forward to everyone. I received a couple messages from people actually wanting to hear this one. So, here it is. Well, for hundreds of years, the mystery surrounding Stonehenge has captivated many people. One of these has been the mystery of who actually built this amazing structure. But before we begin tonight's discussion, let's kick things off a little bit with, some Tuatha De Áa and their song, Irish Hand Fasting, with Darn the Bard. Please stay tuned. Thank you. Listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, where we believe that all manifestations of the divine are valid. You had a choice, and you chose to spend time with us. Join us nightly at 10 p.m. Eastern Time for a wide variety of programming. If you miss one of our shows, there are plenty of places to catch up. Every show is archived at www.blogtalkradio.com/CERN. Look for the on-demand shows. They are available as a free podcast download on iTunes and now available free on the TuneIn Radio application and website. Follow us on Twitter at SURN_ORG and on Facebook. Each of our shows has a Facebook presence so that you can keep abreast with what is going on. If you have any moans, groans, gripes, bitches, complaints, or compliments, you may send those to the station management by emailing surn.org@gmail.com. On Thursday nights, Onyx and Terry discuss questions that have been sent in by you, the listeners. If you have a question you want them to discuss, please send it to the station's email address. If you'd like credit for the question, please let us know in the email. For more information about our network, please click over to www.spiritualunityradionetwork.org. Your support is greatly appreciated, and we humbly thank you for that.
You are listening to Visions of the Past with William Brigley on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Thanks for listening. Thank you. Now, back to William.
Welcome back, everyone. That was Tuatha Dé and their song, Irish Hand Fasting, with Darn the Bard. You are listening to Visions of the Past on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. And tonight we are discussing the science and mysticism of Stonehenge. So, who built this amazing structure? The monument's construction has been attributed to many ancient peoples throughout the centuries, but the most captivating of all has to have been its association to the Druids. This erroneous connection was first made around 3 centuries ago by the antiquary John Aubrey. Julius Caesar and other Roman writers told of a Celtic priesthood who flourished around the time of their first conquest, about 55 BCE. By this time, however, the stones had been standing for an astonishing 2,000 years and were perhaps already in ruins. The Druids also worshipped in forest temples and had no need for stone structures. So if not the Druids, then who? The best guess seems to be that the site was started by the people of the late Neolithic period around 3000 BCE and carried forward by people from a new economy which was arising around this time. These new people, called beaker folk, were named because of their use of pottery drinking vessels, began to use metal implements, and to live in a more communal fashion than their ancestors. Some think that they may have been immigrants from the continent, but that is not supported by archaeological evidence. It is likely that they were part of the indigenous people doing the same old things, but in new ways. Another myth surrounding its construction has been associated with the legendary King Arthur. The story is told by the 12th century writer Geoffrey of Monmouth in his History of the Kings of Britain that Merlin brought the stones to Salisbury Plain from Ireland. Sometime in the 5th century, there had been a massacre of 300 British noblemen by their treacherous Saxon leader Hengist. Geoffrey tells that the High King Aurelius Ambrosius wanted to create fitting memorial to the slain men. Merlin suggested an expedition to Ireland for the purpose of transplanting the giant's ring stone circle to Britain. According to Geoffrey of Monmouth, the stones of the giant's ring were originally brought from Africa to Ireland by giants, of course. The stones were located on Mount Killaruse and were used as a site for performing rituals and for healing. Led by King Arthur and Merlin, the expedition arrived at the spot in Ireland. The Britons, none of whom were giants, apparently, were unsuccessful in their attempts to move the great stones. Merlin realized that his magical arts were the solution. So, the stone structure was disassembled and shipped back to Britain, where they were set up as they had been before, in a great circle around the mass grave of the murdered nobleman. In relation to this story, I don't think archaeology has turned up any giants or evidence of Merlin's magic. However, the area around Stonehenge does have a large number of burials, and this has led Professor Mike Parker Pearson of Sheffield University to suggest that it is a domain of the dead. While at the same time, a Neolithic settlement nearby was the corresponding place of the living. More recently, Professor Parker has championed the idea that Stonehenge was built to unify the different peoples of the British island. There's what we need today to unify people. We need to get together, dig up some massive stones, and build a gigantic circle. There was a growing island-wide culture. The same styles of houses, pottery, and other material forms were used from Orkney to the south coast, says Pearson. This was very different to the regionalism of previous centuries. Pearson also points out that a site as big as Stonehenge would have required cooperation among many groups. Stonehenge itself was a massive undertaking, requiring the labor of thousands to move stones from as far away as West Wales, shaping them and erecting them. Just the work itself requiring every literal person to put everything together would have been an act of unification, he explains. Another theory suggests that Stone Age people saw Stonehenge as a place with healing properties. In 2008, archaeologists Gregory Wainwright and Timothy Darville reported that a large number of skeletons recovered from around Stonehenge showed signs of illness or injury. The archaeologists also reported discovering fragments of the Stonehenge bluestones, the first stones erected at the site, that had been chipped away by ancient, perhaps this was them using these pieces as talismans for protection or for healing purposes. Well, we're going to take another quick song break here. But when we return, we're going to explore astroarchaeology and how it applies to Stonehenge. So, we're going to listen to, here. I know one of our listeners likes this singer here, so how about a little Darn the Bard and his song, Antlered Crown and Standing Stone. We'll be right back.
I am the face within the leaf. I'm the voice within the tree. I am boy. I am man, the face of the changing man, and I have been your constant guide from your caves on the mountainside. We have walked hand in hand, and everywhere that I have been, my passing turns to gray to green. The birds sing to the dawn, and the land
One power in the universe, and I am a perfect manifestation of that power. And as such, I pray for peace. I pray for love. I pray for stability. I pray for the nation where I live. I pray for the world. By my will, so mote it be, and it is so.
Listening to Visions of the Past with William Wrigley on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network.
Thanks for listening. And now, back to William.
Welcome back. That was Darn the Bard with his song, Antler Crown and Standing Stone. You are listening to Visions of the Past, and tonight we are discussing Stonehenge. For a complete lineup of the shows airing on the network, and to learn more about our hosts, please drop by our website at spiritualunityradionetwork.org. We also have Reverend Terry's website at revterrypowerhp.com. And don't forget, we also have Reverend Chuck Chapman's Lady of the Circle in the Oaks website at ladyofthecircle.org. He always has a ton of stuff on the go, many different projects, our CERN schedule, you name it, tons of stuff. So do drop by and check it out. And for our listeners, our shows air every week at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and are as follows. On Tuesday night, we have Reverend Terry's Power Hours with Reverend Terry Power. And on Wednesday night, we look forward to having Reverend Chuck Chapman climbing up on his soapbox again. So do tune in to check it out. And on Thursday night, we have a cataclysm of a collision when we get Reverend Terry Power and Reverend Chuck Chapman together under a shady tree. And on Friday night, we have Spiritual Wellness and Physical Health with Lisa and Robin. Always great topics coming from these two. So again, it's always great to tune in, check out what they have to say, you know. It has a lot to do with maybe your physical well-being, your spiritual well-being, and everything in between. And on Saturday, we have Lady of the Circle in the Oaks with Reverend Chuck Chapman. Then on Sunday night, we have Sacred Divergence Radio with Reverend Elizabeth Hamilton. And then on Monday, of course, you're back with me again for another episode of Visions of the Past. Before the break, I mentioned astroarchaeology. This is the study of astronomy of ancient cultures. So how does this apply to Stonehenge? For starters, in the 18th century, the British antiquarian William Stukeley had noticed that the horseshoe of the great trilithons at the horseshoe of 19 bluestones at Stonehenge opened up in the direction of the midsummer sunrise. It was quickly summarized that the monument must have been deliberately oriented and planned so that on midsummer's morning, the sun rose directly over the heel stone and the first rays shone into the center of the monument between the open arms of the horseshoe arrangement. This discovery had a tremendous impact on how Stonehenge has been interpreted. For Stukeley, in the 18th century, and for the British astronomer Sir Norman Lockyer, in the first years of the 20th century, the alignment implied a ritualistic connection with the sun, with sun worship, and it was generally concluded that Stonehenge was constructed as a temple to the sun. More recently, though, the astronomer Gerald Hawkins has argued that Stonehenge is not merely aligned with solar and lunar astronomical events, but can be used to predict other events such as eclipses as well. In other words, Stonehenge was more than just a temple. It was an astronomical calculator. It is also argued that the summer solstice alignment cannot be accidental. The sun rises in different directions in different geographical latitudes. For the alignment to be correct, it must have been calculated precisely for Stonehenge's latitude of 51 degrees north and 11 degrees west. The alignment, therefore, must have been fundamental to the design and placement of Stonehenge. In addition, Alexander Thom, a professor of engineering and a mathematician, has shown that many other megalithic sites throughout Britain are also oriented towards the sun and the moon. The alignment also made it clear that whoever built Stonehenge had precise astronomical knowledge of the path of the sun and must have known this before construction began, precisely where the sun rose at dawn on Midsummer's morning while standing on the future site of the monument. So can you imagine being the first person planning this massive structure out on this grassy plain and looking at the sun rising on Midsummer's morning? You get that red hue casting across the horizon, the sun rays spreading up overhead, the darkness still behind you, the sun's just breaking that horizon. Can you just imagine that image? And then the image of once this massive monument was done. That would have surely been an astounding achievement to our ancient ancestors. Even today, the solstices are celebrated and homages paid to the ancestors at the sacred site by modern-day druids and pagans alike. With all of these discoveries, one might think that we have uncovered everything there is to know. Though we have learned a lot, there's much more that lies beneath. The Stonehenge Hidden Landscape Project was a four-year effort led by researchers from the UK's University of Birmingham and Austria's Ludwig Boltzmann Institute to map the area down to a depth of about 10 feet. This is 3 meters, using ground-penetrating radar, high-resolution magnetometers, and other state-of-the-art remote sensing equipment. What they found was an astounding complex of ancient monuments, buildings, and burrows laden hidden and unsuspected beneath the Stonehenge area for thousands of years. In all, nearly 3,000 anchors have been excavated virtually, making this the largest and most ambiguous project of its kind ever undertaken anywhere in the world. Among the discoveries are 17 previously unknown ritual monuments dating to the period when Stonehenge achieved its iconic shape. dozens of burial mounds have been mapped in a minute detail, including a long burrow, a burial mound dating to before Stonehenge, which revealed a massive timber building, probably used for the ritual inhumation of the dead following a complicated sequence of exposure and excarnation, this is defleshing, which was finally covered by an earthen mound. Also revealed novel types of monuments, including massive prehistoric pits, some of which appear to form astronomical alignments, plus new information on hundreds of burial mounds, Bronze Age, Iron Age, and Roman settlements and fields at a level of detail never previously seen. Archaeologists now understand that the landscape of Stonehenge developed over a period of more than 11,000 years. Professor Wolfgang Neuberer, director of the Ludwig Boltzmann Institute, states, "Developing non-invasive methods to document our cultural heritage is one of the greatest challenges of our time and can only be accomplished by adapting the latest technology such as ground-penetrating radar arrays and high-resolution magnetometers. The development of the Ludwig Boltzmann Institute for Archaeological Prospection and Virtual Archaeology offer Europe the opportunity to carry out fundamental archaeological research at a scale and precision never previously attempted. No landscape deserves to benefit from a study at this level of detail more than Stonehenge." I couldn't agree more. This sacred site is as important today as it was to the ancient ancestors. To be able to preserve the site for current use and for future generations while learning of the truly remarkable feats of these ancient people is quite the accomplishment, one that I'd suspect is surely welcomed by everyone. We don't want to go around and disturbing sites, but at the same time, we want that knowledge. We want to learn about our ancestors. So I personally believe technology is the way to go. It seems to have the answers. We can see what's down there and 3D map anything that we get to do. We can learn, we can grow, we can understand the undertaking that it must have been for these ancient people. And looking at this particular site, how so many people would have had to come together in one united group, one entity to carry out such a feat speaks volumes. This was certainly, most likely, a project to bring people together. And they did just that. Look at the amazing structure that we have today. And we're always discovering something new. That is everything that I have tonight, folks. And I thank each and every one of you for tuning in tonight. And again, I will be posting the links to where I got my information from so that you too can learn more in depth about these discoveries and much more. Again, if you have any comments, suggestions, or ideas, please feel free to post them on my Visions of the Past Facebook page. We are going to finish things off tonight. See? How about a little Jenna Green and her song, Crossroads. Good night, everyone, and may you blessed be.
Through the doorway of elder sages, cloaked in the veil, I journey circling the sacred wheel forever turning. But now I have a choice to make. At the crossroads, which path do I take? When hope is lost and faith is shaken, do I take the path less taken? All voices are calling me to what seems far beyond my reach. Take a circle stirring me, awakened I must go on. Ages, gazing back upon life's pages, the sands of time slip through my fingers. My vision clears, but doubt still lingers, invoking God's mystic might to let the wings of hope take flight. I take a step, my path is laid. Will they bless the choice I've made? Your voices summon me to share the songs I read. Inspiration stirs in me, awakened I must go on. Of endless ages, countless nights upon life's stages, the life I've lived, the roles I've played, my dreams denied, myself betrayed. Time to change my destiny and finally let my soul break free. I lay anew, I make a new choice to follow music's beckoning voice. New voices guiding me, all doubt and fear are gone. Take a spark of flow to me, awakened I will go on. Of endless ages, moonlit of endless ages.
for listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.